Julia Gillard speaking to Terry Lane in 2003. Now for your feedback on last week's edition of The National Interest, when we turned our attention to the prosecution of welfare fraud. New research shows that people taken to court for defrauding Centrelink have often made inadvertent errors. Listeners like Oppressed were in no doubt. The system is too complex and needs reform.
Our task is ridiculously complex because my partner's pays vary from fortnight to fortnight and we can't report to Centrelink without guesswork. Every fortnight we've had to estimate his pay, report it, and then at the next period have to correct the estimate. But Centrelink's website doesn't allow for corrections. And the problem is that Centrelink staff are bound by a culture that always throws the onus on the customer to be right. And all the time it happens, and it doesn't allow for a genuine error. The department seems to assume that people are not innocent and that all customers are actually trying to cheat.
Alistair says the system often baffles even those who should know it best.
I was just listening to your program this evening about the problems with Centrelink payments and thought I'd let you know about my personal case, which was Centrelink not actually understanding the payment system in place, where I would declare my income each week as I earned it, as requested, not cash. And then when I was paid cash into my bank account, accused by Centrelink of trying to rob the system. It's quite confusing at both ends, I believe, and I, without trying to point a finger, think that perhaps the people at Centrelink doing the numbers don't understand the system themselves either.
While Dan argues his problem isn't fraud, it's getting help from Centrelink in the first place.
I'm a person who worked 3 years past my retirement. It's been a year now. I've been trying to claim the old age pension. I'm disabled. I've been trying to get the disabled carer's pension for my wife. I've been trying to get the bonus for working 3 years past my retirement. It's been over 12 months. In fact, I was told the only way that someone like I can get anywhere with Centrelink is to declare myself bankrupt. It's not good enough. I was an employer. I've worked all my life. I've never been near Centrelink. And now I'm disabled. I can't even afford. How can I afford medicine? I get $55 a week. My wife carers a carer's allowance. How can you live on that? I'm going down. I'm sinking.
Many more comments on our website, together with the audio and a transcript of that Centrelink discussion. Finally, we've had many kind messages on the website via phone and via email from listeners disappointed that the National Interest has come to an end. There's been too much correspondence to go through, but I thought this message from Kathy summed up what the program has tried to achieve week after week.
The National Interest is what I've tuned into every week to hear in-depth debate about issues I care about and to find out about issues I hadn't even thought of or thought much about before, providing a balanced and thoughtful discussion on contemporary issues and, importantly, providing the essential follow-up, which is so often lacking in other program formats. This is the kind of program there should be more of, not less, and so I hope that the end of the National Interest is not the end of the kind of journalism and programming that make the ABC stand out in Australian broadcast media. Congratulations to everyone who has contributed to the National Interest over the years, and my best wishes to you all for the future.
Thanks, Kathy. And there will be plenty more good journalism and good broadcasting on Radio National's new schedule in 2012, which begins in the last week of January, with new programs and fewer repeats. I won't be part of it since I'm leaving the ABC to take up a new job. But don't worry, I wasn't pushed, I jumped. To end, a few thanks. To Gary Haverley, John Jacobs and all the other Radio National audio engineers who've kept us on air. To our supervising editor, Joe Gelonese. To our regular political commentator, Brian Costa, for his advice on and off air. To former colleague Jill Kitson, who had the idea for the National Interest in the first place. To Terry Lane's long-term producer, Peter Brown, who remained a constant source of ideas long after the ABC stopped paying him. And to the producers who've worked with me since 2006, Verica Jokic, Erica Voles and James Paniki. Above all, I'd like to thank you, our listeners, for listening and for keeping us on our toes with your corrections, complaints, amplifications, suggestions and your gratifying compliments when you've thought we've done a good job. If you want to send us one last message, you can still do so. for a few more days online at abc.net.au/rn/national interest or by calling the feedback line 1300 936 222. I'm Peter Mayres. On ABC Radio National, it's almost time for the news.